that a triad of deities is passed down from Egypt. And the triad is manifested in the human being as mind, body, and soul, or Ba, Ka, and Ah. Right? Or Chat. Ba, Ka, and Ah. And the Chat, not Ah. Ah is a traveling soul. When they speak of the angel who comes and takes your soul, they call that one near the Ah. Where the Hebrew of the Bible and the Muslim of the Quran got the word brother, Ah, and sister, Ur, the transit soul through the body. You follow? And those are three principles. And when you get those three principles, mind, body, and soul, you then have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You follow? Because you have the mind of the Father, everybody feeds into the mental, right? That's mind, and what's the next one? And next one. See it? Who's the soul? The Holy Ghost. Who's the body? The flesh of Christ. The incarnated God into flesh. And anybody who doesn't believe that he came into the flesh is an anti-Christ, or Dibd al-Masih, or Mashiach, against the Christ. So the teaching of Father, Son, Holy Ghost is manifested that I'm the way, the truth, and the light. No one gets to the Father but by me, because I'm talking, not me per se. Because Christ is talking to you flesh to flesh, from body to body. And the next stage, once you've mastered the desires and the sting of death on this realm and no longer fear death, then you'll make a transit state towards a spiritual level. But you first gotta overcome the fears of the physical world.
So, from the body, without the process of death?
Yes.
So that you might do it again.
You do it every time you're emotional. And anytime anybody feels your emotion, the thing that human beings mess up with is they mess the spirit up with the soul. The spirit is the shell of the soul. The soul is the emotional, the expression of the body. Emotions, energy in motion. That's what the soul is. The soul radiates, vibrates outside the body. This is why oftentimes you can feel a person before they come. You don't feel their spirit. You feel their soul. The soul is connected to the mind, or as you would say, to the mental reservoir of intellect of which all beings feed. It channels down, and I call it my mind. Or remove the D and put the E phonetically, and it's mind, individual mind, mental. But actually, there's nobody here that can think a thought that nobody else couldn't think. So therefore, everybody here is actually feeding off the same source of power, the mind. But, go ahead.
The mind don't live in the body?
There's three of them. There's three minds. There's the conscious mind. Then there's the subconscious mind. And the aware. And let me tell you about the aware mind. Because most teachers won't teach you about the aware mind. While we're having this conversation, you're remembering years and years of us knowing each other and the different things we've done and experienced together. That is happening in the subconscious mind, right?
Yeah.
While I'm talking to you in the conscious mind, and while you're trying to prepare a question in another mind, the middle, that's I don't want to say middle mind, I say the middle layer of the mind, all right? Subconscious mind works independent of the conscious mind. It'll do what it feels like, it'll bust in when it wants to, it'll curse somebody out if it feels like, it will get you in trouble. Okay? Now, most people identify the subconscious mind only with memory. And that's not true. It is constantly a transit state. It transforms itself from memory immediately because of now. The middle mind, as I call it, is the now mind. The other two are then minds. Then and then. You follow? Meaning if you spoke to me and I said, well, I'll come to your house tomorrow, then I will be with you. Then, or I was at your house yesterday. You remember? Don't you remember when? That was also then. So there's then, and now. Now is the one that's reaching in and out of then and then. The then of our past, the then of the now, and where are we going by the next question you're thinking? And right, which world they call it the future? Yeah. Somebody else.
I was speaking to a guy who was a Buddhist one time, and
he was a Buddhist one time.
Well, I was speaking to him one time.
You were speaking to him one time.
Yeah.
And he was once a Buddhist.
Well, he was a Buddhist at that time.
Okay. Is he still a Buddhist?
Well, he's in the north right now. I'm not sure what he's doing right now. And he had said regarding the mental reservoir that the instincts of animals is them tapping into the mental reservoir. And I figured it sounded logical, but I wasn't knowledgeable regarding that.
Well, you shouldn't have let him get away then. You should have made him explain himself. Because it's easy for me to just say all animals feed into the mental reservoir. And then that means every animal has a mind. And every animal with a mind does individual thinking and decisions. However, that's just not true. All animals follow a pattern of living. So therefore, there is a seat in mind in the evolution of man becoming a perfected being where each animal lives. And his source of mental is feeding off one spot, and all of those animals feed off that same spot. The same way certain defective human beings act the same way, and they call them copycat criminals, or do the same thing. They go insane on March the 5th, and they stay insane for 3 months. During that period of time, they get drunk, they curse anybody out in the neighborhood, and then 3 months later, they straighten up and they're perfectly normal. And that is happening all over the world. So there must be, from that reservoir, there must be certain chambers from which a person's flow of etheric thought can be trapped like most animals. Most animals, like a deer, will roam a specific area. Even if a deer that was with this deer was shot in that area, they will still roam a certain perimeter of mouth. You know what I'm trying to say? And then change when they finish grazing and find another area. And you'll find that that same practice will be deers, whether they're in Africa, South America, America, North America, wherever they are, they'll follow the same pattern. Whereas human beings don't do that. Human beings aspire to be different from other human beings. And use terms like I do what I feel like doing. I got my own mind. I got my own thing. I got my bag. I got my this. I got my that. That spot. And that aspiration for individualism is the link to the God power. You follow what I'm saying? That man was made in the image and after the likeness of God. Yet, God was embarrassed by that. Because after he created every animal in Genesis and every other thing in Genesis, he said it was good. He said he saw that it was good. When it came to the thing that's in his image and after his likeness, he didn't see himself as good. Or he didn't see you as a good replica of himself. Because in Genesis, the one thing he doesn't say that God saw was good was the creation of man. So, but now here's another thought. At the very point of that creation of man, when God said, what? Create man in my image and after my likeness. So now here's a very funny thing. When you speak of people and you tell them Christ is in the image of God, they get insulted. Genesis says clearly that God said, create man in my image and after. So the moment that was said, man was created. So what did man look like? If that statement is true, and it should be held to be true by those who believe in the Bible. If you don't, then you don't believe in the Bible. Because the Bible is the infallible word of God to those who believe in the Bible. And if God said he created man in his image, at the moment that the thought was said, then he had an image of what man would look like. Because in order for you to create something, you need a mental blueprint. So he had a now, where did he get this mental blueprint if he didn't draw it? The mental blueprint he had was of himself. And that's why he said, I created man in my own image. And after my likeness, so the moment that was said, man became as great as God. Then man had to be put in place. So the initial creation, man was in totality a replica of God. And then God set out to make commandments to discipline the man. And what did the man do? Did he abide by the commandments of God, or did man have the power to rebel against God and do what he wanted and call it free will? And has man been doing what he wanted against God ever since? How could man do that? How could man have the power to do that? No, because man was created in the image and the likeness of God and immediately became in the image and the likeness of God. So he had not only his presence, but he also had his power. And one of the powers that man executes to verify that he's in the image and after the likeness of God is his desire to disobey God and the ability to get away with it. You follow that? Otherwise, man couldn't do it. Because if you have a real parent and you control a house, you can control the way the child thinks until they get big enough to flex their own muscles. And then they become equal to you in size, strength, and sometimes vernacular, vulgarity. And that's when they'll curse you out, catch your hand at the slightest attempt to slap them, and may even shove you back. But they had to wait until they became your equivalent or equivalent. They had to wait until they were strong enough and powerful enough to resist you. So if man started doing all sorts of evil and wicked things in his head continuously, as the Bible says, how was he able to execute this unless the Father, because Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, unless the Father was no longer the Father figure of authority, that this man had now taken it upon himself to have the power of God and rebel against his heavenly Father. You understand what I'm saying? This is something that happened because God created, according to the Bible. And then you'll find with that that it says that it grieved God at his heart because of what he had created. This being that he created to be his son and his daughters, his loving creatures, became rebellious and spoke against God and blasphemed God. And it's still doing it. Because either God forgot, which we know he didn't. Right? Either God forgot, or man just grew into God. See, that's the metaphysical poor interpretation, because it's the only way to explain how a person can rebel or create a new figure. And the new figure would be the devil. And then give him power. And say he had the power to turn man away from God. And then he said, well, in the beginning was God only, and there was no devil. Or was the devil there in the beginning with God? Because if the devil was there in the beginning with God, then God was never alone, and God is not unique. You follow that? So if God was ever alone in the beginning, then the devil couldn't have been there. So at what point in time, if time is appropriate, does the devil come into play? And who gave him his platform? And in whose image and likeness is he in? Now, well, he can take on the form of a man. Or he can take on the form of a female. He can take on the form of this. Who gave him the power to take anything in God's creation? Right? Where did he get the authority to step into this woman who God created and has a soul, a spirit with God governing it? How does he get in there? He must know the formula. You follow that? He must know some type of configuration for how the soul travels into the body. Or as certain people call them, walk-ins, or people get possessed. There must be a formula. There must be a certain level of resistance you must drop to make yourself available for possession. And where and when does it come about? In order for a devil to exist. Because the devil, according to everybody, was once a good person who fell from grace. So he allowed himself to drop to a certain level where he was able to be used by... Another question comes up. By whom? If the devil was once an angel, then the devil was the embodiment of good, one of the messengers of God. At what point and how and who possessed him? And whoever possessed him, that was the devil. Now we got to go back again and start over here and try to figure out where he got his power. You follow? Or was it that the devil was a man, just like Adam? created in the image and after the likeness of God, just like Adam. And with that, had the power to rebel. And Adam chose to comply after a little pressure from God, like Noah did. A lot of water can be very convincing. A flood. I mean, it's not like Noah wanted to convert. Noah had the choice of converting or treading water, drinking a lot of water, or making water evaporate, because there was a flood. So God's method of persuasion, again, is the same as a parent. You either live by the laws and the rules of my house, or you get out. And if you do, I don't want the music loud, and I don't want your friends running out of here, and stay out of my refrigerator. As long as you do these things, we have a working relationship. That's the same type of thing that God is offering man. If you do this, this way, that way, and that way, then everything is cool. But in comes man in the form of the devil and says, what God means is be a Muslim. What God means is be a Jew. What God means is be a Christian. Then you say, show me somewhere where it says be a Christian. Well, they say, well, I mean, just the birth of Christ. Say, well, you know, well, what's that going to be in Christian? Well, Christ, Christian, Christian, Christ. And you say again, nice, but what does it have to do with being called a Christian? They can't give an answer. They'll say, well, that's the Son of God. And I say, that's beautiful. So is everybody else. But what did he do that's unique? He came to save the world. Right? Save us from our selves. To remove sin from the world. And establish the kingdom of God here on earth. Our Father who art in heaven. Thy kingdom come on earth. As it is. That's what he came to do. But he didn't do it. Do we take back his things? Is President Carter still President Carter, or is he now just Carter? If he's no longer president, then he's no longer president. Well, if Christ came and his name Yeshua means to save, that's the Hebrew, and the Greek is something totally different. But it means to save. Then if he did not save the people, the Israelites who he came to save, then when he leaves, his name stays in the box until the Savior comes. You follow? That sounds like blasphemy. You know why? Because it's touching on things that step on faith and belief. It's touching on, it's going down an avenue that calls for you to develop the God-like qualities in you and facilitate those powers that was given to you in creation, and you don't want the responsibility. It is so much easier to just say, Christ came, and he's coming back, and he's going to get us. It's so easy. And it was easy for your mother, and your grandmother, and your great-grandmother, and your great-great-grandmother, all the way back to 2,000 years ago. It's been that easy, that long, and has not happened yet. And it leaves you now at the end of the world, the most vulnerable people on the planet, the most open, the most susceptible. You are the most cooperative people on the planet. Here you are in 1999 and you don't even want to be a racist anymore. That's cooperation. You have learned again to comply. While you are cooperating, people out there are not cooperating. They're going out with guns and killing little Jewish kids virtue of the fact of the title Jew. That's all, because they're both Caucasian to look at. The name Jew, the religious denomination or sect or cult, whatever else you want to use, that they belong to, justifies killing them. That person in compliance near the end of the world. Or to go to a high school and spray up a bunch of other students. Or to go up to Atlanta and spray up a bunch of people or make it. So the powers to rebel and be destructive is growing while you have been groomed and processed to become compliant. And if any man stands up and tells you, get prepared, then there's some type of militia or terrorist or anti this or anti that. They say, listen, everybody else is going nuts and going around killing people and you're not. Check the statistics. You hear me? All across the world, Pakistanis are bombing the Hindus. They're losing it. America, the Europeans in this country, because their 6,000 years are over, their rule has ended, are losing it. That's normal. Try to pull a king off his throne and watch him act like a savage after being spoiled. You follow? After being spoiled by the pedestal of power. What type of people are trying to get power if all people share the same mental, and that mental is from God, the term most used in this country, then all people are feeding off God, and if man is of God, and the devil is of God, there's only one man God that tries to overthrow compliance, because God demands compliance, and that would be the Amorite, the devil. You follow? So he is starting to show his true colors. Now that he has to come down. You hear me? He does not want to cooperate with God and God's system that species come and go. But God is eternal. So there must be a man that's in the image and after the likeness of God that is also eternal. You hear me? Then there must be a kind of man that's not eternal, that must go with the rest of the animals. And they move out the way for thousands and thousands of years. They stepped aside while the gods stood there. And they watched different people, different races fade away. There are whole races of people that they can't find no more. Ain't that what they teach? The whole race just disappeared. But nine evil woolly-haired beings have been existing pre-Egypt, pre-China, pre-Mesopotamia, pre-Chaldea, Sumeria, pre-they existed. Them big noses have been here. And that nappy hair has been here. Them big lips have been here while other races are transient. And if man is in the image and after the likeness of God, then there must be some man, God, walking the earth who will be permanent. Because they are the mothers and fathers of all other human beings. And that Bible says, honor thy mother and father, that's your... As long as they honor their mothers and fathers and respect Africa, the source of all life, they'll live on. But they have stopped doing that. And we have become compliant by accepting religion. Be it Christianity, Judaism, Islam, or snow cone worship. It makes us compliant. You follow that? It makes us cooperate. It renders us civilized. Civil. Controlled, imprisoned, confined, tamed, when we are not civilized at all. We, as his story will tell, are the civilizers. And when he, in his story, seeks to find out my story, he ends up with a mystery. I can tell him everything he ever did in the course of time. Every monument that he ever built, I see how he did it. Whether it's the World Trade Center or the bases on Stone Mountain, we know how you did it. Or the great cathedrals or the great mosque, synagogues or churches from Spain straight on across to China from the Great Wall of China. We see how you did it. But you don't know how we did the things we did. You don't know how we built the pyramids and they spend billions of dollars and thousands of expositions going over there and they come up with all kind of conclusions. Well, I think they put them on sticks and they rolled them. There was no trees thick enough. Well, they must have built these big ramps with bricks and then pulled them up. The ramp would have to be bigger than the pyramid. Where did they discard all those rocks? Well, heck, it's a mystery. No, it's not a mystery, it's my story. It's only a mystery to you, it's my story to me. And then there's history, which has nothing to do with history. Because in history, you get your story. And as I trace your story back, I start finding some weird things like wolves. Romulus and Remus. Let's say, well, the Romans are responsible for the Catholic religion. Roman Catholic. Right? Bertie? All right. Now, the Romans are the Italians. Correct? And they say they came from a she-wolf who raised two brothers, two twins, thank you, and one killed the other. That's as far as you go back to a jackal. But scientists say men go back to monkeys, correct? And there's basically four different types of monkeys. Discuss this today. There is the orangutan, chimpanzee, the gorilla, and the baboon. The gibbon belongs to the family of chimpanzees. The baboon, they're called the simians. With me? Now, a baboon, if you look at his mange, is a replica of a dog. So some man on the planet, follow, came down from a dog. And that dog, or that baboon, is very aggressive. He's carnivorous. He's a killer. He goes around and stalks schools and shoots innocent people. He drags people on the back of cars. It's in his nature to kill, because that's his seed, his root seed. Then there is the chimpanzee. He's silly, playful, and a lot of silly playfulness. Then there's the orangutan, who's extremely intelligent. There's a lot of intelligence. Then there's the gorilla. He's also carnivorous and violent and big and hairy. He got hair on his back on the beach, on his shoulder on the beach, behind his knee on the beach. And it makes you kind of wonder sometimes on the beach when they walk by. You go, nobody in my family got hair on the back of their leg. I mean, we've been moving on this evolutionary path for a long time. Back of the leg is kind of deep. We should have been a lot further than that, unless there are different species of human beings. Some are more carnivorous, violent, destructive, and others are more docile and intelligent. The more intelligent ones may have built pyramids. You follow? And were quite content with the gift that the source of elements, whether you want to call it Yahweh, Theos, Elohim, Allah, whatever you want to call it, the source of elements placed in Africa, the richest of all resources, everything, diamonds, platinum, gold, fruit, everything, and placed a specific group of people there and said, you should be the richest people on the planet. I say so. That's why I put the diamonds in South Africa and the gold in South Africa and Nigeria and the oil. That's why I did it. Because I am God, creator of heavens and the earth. And I want you to be the richest people on the planet. You hear me? So I've given you the best of everything. But I've also given you my heart. And that's going to make you extremely and carefully compassionate. You're going to open your arms up to any and everybody. And you're going to get stepped on. You're going to get walked on. That's going to be a school for you in this short journey into becoming a perfect being. A carved ashlar. A cut stone. It's going to be in your making from a regular man to a better man. You have to have moral control. Discipline. You know, you got to just round yourself out and square yourself off. Keep yourself in check, in other words. That you can better serve humanity. And we try. But what we get in return is we open the doors to our cultures and we get robbed. We get hung, castrated, tarred with feathers. We get no justice. We get no fair treatment. We don't get equal opportunity. And if one of us, maybe a Dr. Martin Luther King is born, a great man with a great purpose, and they analyze him the way they analyze a lab rat, from what he is doing to what he is capable of doing in a projected period. That's how they work, you see. You work from day to day, because that's all the money you make. But they work with plans and investments and in stock, and they got things planned for the future. So they looked at the future of where Dr. Martin Luther King would be and what he would be doing, not what he was doing. You follow that? And when he made a million people walk to Washington, I'm not talking about Farrakhan. Farrakhan flew in. He didn't walk with Dr. Martin Luther King. He walked with his people from Ebenezer Baptist Church. They walked there. Wore out 10 pair of shoes. But they was building up a divine momentum of energy. There was a drive like back in Africa when they played the drum. Boom, boom. Or the Pentecostal church when they banged the tambourine. Or the reverend started singing and the gospel starts to moving. The feet start to snapping. Hands start to clapping. And the spirit starts to move through that church. That's a living power that's in you from God. That they want suppressed because it's a dangerous power. It's a avenging spirit. It's a powerful 9 living spirits move through you. You understand? And they feared. They saw Dr. Martin Luther King was not just a preacher. He was also a teacher because he was saying things that were eternal in statement. Judge a man by the content of his character. And not the color of his skin. That kind of statement can end up a biblical statement if we ain't careful. That's as good as what Jesus almost said. And if it works with human beings and makes them better, that man is dangerous. What would Dr. Martin Luther King be doing right now? How much would he have gotten done for us by now if then? I'm not talking about Malcolm X. Malcolm X was talking about Pan-Africa, separating blacks from whites, going different directions. You know, he was talking another thing, which was the start of the race war. But Dr. Martin Luther King had another strategy. Right? What would he be doing now for us as people? How far would we have gotten with that kind of leadership? He would have made a president. Because Jesse almost did it. And Farrakhan didn't derail it with his Jewish anti-Semitic statements he made in New York. And he had the right to, as a Muslim, he should have been punked out after he said it. He had every right to make those statements as a Muslim. That's his right. Muslims can talk about Jews. Jews can talk about Muslims. Muslims can talk about Christians. Christians can talk about Jews and Christians. That's what they do. How else will they get followers if they don't beat down other people? They won't draw nobody out of love, that's for sure. So they gotta spend their whole dialogue beating each other up to make other people, you right, I'm with you then. And the nigga that goes with him for beating you up, when someone else comes along who's charismatic, you know, and are eloquent speaker, they're gonna shoot, all right, no rule. And one minute they're Sunni Muslim, next minute they're 5%, next minute they're Nation Islam, next minute they're back in the Holy Name Baptist, Mount Zion Baptist Church. And that don't work, they with the Hebrew Israelites acting like godly brothers. All that is power of mind, showing how dangerous you are, because each one of you are a Dr. Martin Luther King, just dormant. You have something to say, you just don't know how to say it. You have something to express, you don't know how to express it. You've divided yourself. You've become conquered in spirit. And that is worse than the fact that you were conquered in body. You became conquered in spirit because you have surrendered your identity to another's. You hear me? They want you to worship Jesus Christ, not in the image that the Bible describes him as in Revelations, but in the image that Michelangelo describes him as, and you accepted it because you're docile. You won't even stand up and fight for Christ. You call yourself a Christian, but you won't even fight for Christ's identity. And if identity, let me repeat this, and if identity, let me say it one more time, and if identity was not necessary, the word begot would not be in the Bible. And he begot him, who begot him, who begot him, who begot him. Somebody was trying to keep a record. Somebody wanted to say, you came from him, and 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 from him, and him, and this is Adam, and you came from God. To keep a line of blood, a link, and to make sure that he made that point, he named the first man blood. To make sure he was saying it was spirit down to Adam. Adam or Adama in Hebrew from Edom means red blood, clotted blood, earth, dust. You understand what God did? God made sure you knew that Adam was the first manifestation of the physical by just saying his name is Adam. And then Adam had him. And it keeps on going on down to you. Now the sad thing about it is, somewhere along the line, what they did is they clipped or they severed the physical blood link between you and Adam, and they present you with what's called a leap for faith. I remember that movie. Yeah, they know what they're doing. You know what a leap for faith is? A leap for faith is, I got to leap from me back to Muhammad. And back to Gabriel, and back to Allah. Well, I gotta leap from me back to Jesus Christ, and then from Jesus Christ to his Father. All that, you see the leap, but there is a gap missing. But Jesus, he didn't have that gap. They made sure in Matthew, they said, he is the son of him, who 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 is the son of Adam, who is the son of God. That tells you that the Bible thinks genealogies and blood links are important. God thought so. But somewhere along the line, they want you and I to leap for faith. They want me to leap thousands of years and bump into, in that path, Michelangelo's impression of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in my image, not in my likeness. And if I'm reading Genesis and say, God said I'm creating man in his image after his likeness, and then I get there, and I'm not in the image and after the likeness of God, then I must be the devil. And whether I know that in my conscious or now mind, I am storing it in my subconscious mind and acting on it. And that's the power of the devil. And to seal it, and to guarantee that it stays sacred, I introduce a very powerful thing. You know what it is? Fear God. Fear Allah. Fear this or you'll burn in some form of hell. You see? God identified everything in the Bible as good and bad. He even called gold good in Genesis. And if there's good gold, then there's... But he didn't say that about fire or light. So the Freemason will say light is good. Muslims will say Allah is not a sum of wealthy with the that khair, that's good. They'll say in language. Na khair, that's good. He's a light, Allah is the light of the heaven and the earth. Simply called Allah the sun, though. But light is good. How about light being bad? Is there bad light? They go, this is something to think about. Is there such thing as bad light? What if there's good gold and bad gold and good people and bad people and good weather and bad weather and good days and bad days? Then there must be good light and bad light. God said the light that he created was good, correct? So, go ahead, talk to me. Are there? Everybody's child right now. If the child is consumed in fire, lit by an evil person whose intention was solely to burn the child, for no intelligent reason, the person would be bad. Would the fire also be bad? Okay, extremely hot, especially if you burn somebody else. It's hot, good. At a certain temperature, your body can no longer resist heat. Is that when it becomes bad to you?
I would think it would burn.
Yeah, so if the fire burnt the kid, wouldn't that be bad fire? Is there any fire that lights without light?
Fire lights without light? Well, if you have a light within yourself.
No, intelligence.
Okay. Right.
Well, they call cutting on the light intelligence. Like the light bulb, they go, beep, oh, fire. I'm going another way. I'm saying light is also the mind. It also, when you have knowledge is considered light. Correct? So, is that restricted to good information, or is the knowledge that the devil imparted to Eve, which is also light, was that good or bad light? Okay, let's try again then. If you walk into a dark room and you're looking for something, and your daughter says, cut on the light, and she doesn't tell you how bright the light is in the room, and you cut on the light and the light blinds you for the rest of your life, was that good or bad light? And that was a bad light. You know why it became bad? Because it became personal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when we're burning the kid up, you had an argument. You see, you had to negotiate what was bad when I was a kid. When it became me, you said, oh, now that is bad.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, this fire that doesn't burn.
Yeah, don't burn.
Oh, yeah. But I'm not trying to say all fire is bad. I was trying to get at the mind that conceives the burning is bad light in the sense of bad knowledge. The actual burning of the child or whomever is bad light, bad fire, because it brought pain and suffering. So there is a such thing as good light and a such thing as bad light. Though the Bible speaks of good light, he's talking about the sun. And he later on describes, I set them in the sky as signs of time, right? And seasons. And we live by these times and these seasons, these 12 signs of the zodiac, as we would call it. Or the 12 organs of the body that move around, etc. And that's controlled by some intelligent force. We'd like to believe that all this actions and activity is controlled by some intelligent force, which we trickle down to be God. Right? Self. Okay, well, God is self insofar as God said, I breathe into you of my spirit, and you became a living soul. So as long as you are a living being with emotions, then God is still present in you. And the Bible in St. John said, that's the same light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So that light of God is the life in man. So God is present in each being, which is where I started. Right? And if something interferes with the flow of God in man, it must be devil. And then we had a problem with who gave the devil that kind of power. Unless the devil was also a man, and like every other man had what you're calling free will. You know what I mean? Because Muslims are good at using the word free will and self-determination. Unless I use my free will and self-determination to say I don't want to believe in Allah, and then all of a sudden it's not, then I'm a bad guy. It's granted to me to use until I use it. It's all right for me to have my own mind, as long as my own mind is in accord with what you want me to believe. But if I'm in the church, or the mosque, or the synagogue, and I'm exercising the right of my own mind, and one of the things I decide is I don't want to be there, I become a bad person. How'd that happen?